Well, I can only play like 10 minutes of Star Wars, and it's not enough. I want to play more. I'm freaking out.
Okay, I guess we won't do a show then.
Yeah, but we should. Okay.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 8th, 2015.
Is there a calendar he's looking at somewhere?
I wanted to say September. I can't believe we're this far into October already.
Yeah.
I am your host and the main character and the one everyone cares about, Mike Minotti, and AJ's here too.
What?
Yay. So yeah, we're doing kind of a Star Wars episode. I got a little early access to the Battlefront beta. AJ just played a match. We're going to talk about that bit. Then we're also going to talk about some of our favorite Star Wars games prior to this. That's kind of our deal here today. Yeah.
And next week there won't be a show. We're both out of town.
Yeah.
In different towns. Isn't that fun? We're actually going to like opposite corners of the country.
Where are you? Oh, you're going to Tampa?
Yeah.
And I'm going to San Francisco for Games Beat. So, hey, if you're in the San Francisco area, come down to Games Beat. It's going to be crazy. Well, it might not be crazy, but it'll be interesting.
Michael, sign your Exploding Barrel mug.
Yes, which you all have, right? Did we actually sell those at one point?
Yeah, they're still up on, what's that site called? There's a site.
I don't know if
Cafe Press.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody ever.
It's the old logo, but hey, I don't think we sold a single one. That's okay. We didn't even buy it.
I was going to buy a friggin' mug.
It was $15. It was expensive.
Yeah. We're bad businessmen. okay, I got to play a lot of the beta. So there's three things in it. I haven't really done the co-op mode yet. Then there's two multiplayer maps / modes. The one is Dead Drop. And it's pretty, it's kind of like a more basic thing. It's just, you know.
It's like King of the Hill.
Yeah, it's King of the Hill, basically. These pods drop and first team to collect them with. But, you know, it doesn't have, like, the ships and, you know, vehicles and hero tokens and stuff like that. So the Hoth one's the fun one. And the way the map works is it's the AT-ATs are on a set path to destroy the shield generator. The rebels need to take them down one. To do that, there's three points where Y-Wings will attack the AT-ATs and disable their shields, and that's when everybody on the rebels can shoot them. So to win, there's these uplinks, and every time you control one long enough or do a cycle, it adds like another Y-Wing attack. So the more of those you get, the longer that duration is when they're vulnerable. So the way that needs to be pretty like strong, like, you know, you need to like have a decent amount of time, and you need like, you know, if everybody just shoots their blasters at it, it probably won't be enough. You have to have some people on like the ships and like the turrets kind of helping and stuff. It seems to me, anyways.
So.
The Empire could shut down those uplinks too.
In the 10 minutes I played this mode, I drove the turrets of a AT-AT, dropped an orbital strike on like six dudes, infiltrated Echo Base, got chased down by Luke Skywalker, jetpacked across some snowy tundra, got in a TIE Interceptor, and shot down snowspeeders.
Dang.
That is like the dream right there, right? Like this was everything you could want, and that was just 10 minutes of play.
Yeah, this is like all the kind of cinematic like moments. It is cool because like the air game sort of it kind of happens separately from the ground game in a lot of ways. Even though you know they can kind of zone in on things,
right?
But it's neat because it's definitely like when you're just running around, you're just like that stuff's just happening. It's almost like it's ambient, but it's like all the whole you know.
It fits like every. I mean, obviously, like you know, we know what Star Wars sounds like. We know what it looks like. So like they just the way they nail all of that together. Yeah. It's really astounding. And the thing is, like, since the day they announced this game and all the in-engine footage they've shown, it always kind of looked like a bullshot to me. You know? Yeah, it was always like, it can't look that good. It looks that good!
Yeah, it's on PlayStation 4, really it looks looking. Really good. It's funny how much better it looks than, like, say, Battlefield 4 did on, like, these next-gen systems.
Yeah, I mean, you got the hindsight of 2 years of development on these platforms, I guess, but, I mean...
It helps, yeah.
This game is gorgeous. Right, oh my gosh.
Yeah, with the big skyboxes and all that ridiculous.
And it does, it's, It does a lot of nice arcadey things that I like. Like, your weapon accuracy can't be modified. Like, looking down a scope is purely cosmetic. Crouching doesn't do anything for your accuracy.
Right.
So it's just shoot the guys.
Yeah, I like that simplicity. Especially, like, yeah, like, these games, there's so many weapons. Like, especially playing Destiny now, there's so many weapons. I do like, you know, you have a blaster rifle. Mm-hmm. I think you get more, you do unlock different kinds of blaster rifles.
Yeah, they have different stats, but, like...
Yeah, but, like, yeah, it's not, like... I don't think it's too crazy.
No.
Per se. But I like to let, so you have, like, you have hands, is what they call, like, kind of, like, your inventory. And you basically have one thing to L, one thing to R, and then, like, a triangle active thing. And the L and R are just on cooldowns. And that's, like, thermal detonators.
Sniper rifle.
It's, like, a sniper rifle you can take out and do a shot with, and, like, your jetpack and stuff like that. The triangle was, like, the only one that was in the beta that I played was, like, you hold it down, you had ion shots with your weapons for a bit, meaning that they'd be stronger against vehicles.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's cool because you can, like, make different hands on different scenarios. So, obviously, for, like, you know, that would be a good thing for the Rebels in the AT-AT mode because they're going to be shooting down vehicles a lot. But right. When you're Imperial, you're not really taking down any enemy vehicles, so you don't really need that. It's cool. I like the cooldown system, too. And it's good because, like, it works because the grenades aren't overpowered. They're kind of, their blast zone is pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like people are just flipping grenades everywhere.
Right.
It's, you know, it's
that sound the grenades make, though, is so good.
Did you see, like, one of the grenades is, like, that thing that Jango Fett had?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's so cool. I love that sound.
Yeah, and then, like, there's tokens on the map, and that's how you get, like, either, like, a rocket launcher, a shield, or you can fly, like, a vehicle. Or even get the hero tokens. That's the one thing I haven't done yet. I haven't been one of the heroes yet.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, it's just, man. Like, you're running around, shoot dudes. I'm a stormtrooper. Oh, here's Darth Vader. I'm going to go rally to him. Like, it all just makes so much sense.
It seems like, yeah, the Walker Assault, it seems like that's a mode. So I wonder if there's going to be, like, other maps with, like, that same kind of premise.
Seems like it,
yeah. Like a Tatooine map in a... I mean, we saw that one trailer in Endor. There was an AT-AT walking down it.
Yeah.
But yeah, even, you know, it's funny because we've had AT-ATs in a lot of games, but this is like the first time it seems like the scale and like it really feels like, oh my God, look at this giant thing.
Yeah, well, like I was watching you and Jeff streaming it yesterday, and at one point, like, Jeff was just running next to one of the AT-ATs and it got destroyed. And it comes like crashing down right next to him. And like you said, the scale of it. It's just so impressive.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Just, like, the scale is insane here. And you kind of had, like, I think that's something that Battlefield maybe always did better than Call of Duty. It's mm-hmm. kind of like the scale stuff, and yeah, that works really
well. These maps feel massive.
Right, and, like, yeah, this map here, like, every time, like, the ATGs go by one of the checkpoints, like, it resets where, like, people spawn and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a big, big map. But, what are some of the other, like, there's, I know, like, the names of some of these other modes, there's, like, Droid Run and stuff.
I don't know what that is. I know there's, like, a straight-up Team Deathmatch mode. There's the Fighter mode, which is in the beta. Yeah. I don't know what else there is.
Yeah, I really like this Walker Assault mode, because I like the kind of asynchronous gameplay of it.
Yeah, the different goals. Right. I feel like that's the one people are going to play the most, because it has all the vehicles and everything,
It has the heroes and stuff, yeah, exactly. And, yeah, and I like that, yeah, the... You know, usually, like, in Battlefield, I never like being in a ship. It never feels quite right to me. This just, yeah, this works really well. I like how you, like, lock in on somebody by holding down the L button. And, yeah, like, the throttle on the one stick. Although it was weird for me, I had to, like, change it. By default, you steer with the right stick and, like, your left stick's the throttle.
Yeah, that's weird.
That was very weird,
yeah. I understand, I guess, because it's like you keep your reticle aiming on one the same stick.
I get it. It was weird. I had to invert that ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So before this game comes out, and you know, I think this will be remembered as like one of the better Star Wars games. What do you think about some of like the past Star Wars games? First off, with the other Battlefronts, because we didn't actually play the old Battlefronts that much.
I played a lot of 2. I had it on PC.
I bought it on PC 2 after the fact. I don't know if I played a lot of it.
I played a good chunk. Actually, like, for all the complaining of a lack of single-player mode, which Battlefront 2 had, it was just, you played bot matches with some cutscenes in the middle.
Cutscenes were just narration. Yeah, they weren't even cutscenes.
Yeah, I liked it for some reason.
Whatever, yeah. Well, it's just, well, they tried to do it as a pretty device, like, you were a clone trooper going through, like, the whole saga, basically.
Yeah.
Which was fine. I can't, like, remember. Yeah, I remember they were fun. It's weird, those games were kind of designed for third person. And, like, you can do that in Battlefront now, but
yeah.
It is almost weird that they even actually kept that name. I guess it's just like to get any brand recognition you can. But
oh, sure.
The feel is different for sure.
Oh, yeah. It, aside from the fact that it's like, you know, big open battles with vehicles and heroes.
Yeah. And the other thing about the Battlefront, because that was like, for me in general, it seems like Star Wars became its own like game genre in like the late 90s and stuff, and maybe even a little bit before that, when like, you know, we were ramping up with the special releases and the new movies, and it was like a lot of this stuff was tying into that. So there was just like it seemed like there was multiple new games every year.
Yeah.
You know, you had Jedi Knight and Rogue Squadron, and just like every single second, anywhere you look, there's fucking Battle for Naboo or whatever, and Pod Racer, well, and
so let's break it
Jedi
down.
Jedi Power Battle.
Now you're just listing games. So I know. Let's talk about, because I ruined all my reveals.
Oh my god! Don't even with that.
What is your favorite Star Wars game?
Oh shoot! Why don't you go first? I know you have an easy answer.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah,
is the easy choice, because especially after you had the prequels, or it was during the prequels, and it's like, ugh, these stories are kind of dumb, and they're about, like, weird politics and trade negotiations. And then this game comes out, and, I mean, the plot twist that happens in KOTOR goes down as one of the best moments in gaming, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and
that journey to becoming a Jedi was really well done.
It's kind of hard for me to argue the point against KOTOR, I guess. Yeah, like, yeah, the one like I have the most fond memories of, I feel like it probably has aged horribly, is the first Nintendo 64 and Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, sure.
Because that was like the first time.
Well, honestly, I feel like when you talk about Shadows of the Empire, you're 90% talking about that Hoth level.
Yeah, for sure.
And there was the one swoop bike level that was fun, and the rest of the game was pretty mediocre. It was like a mediocre.
Weird third-person shooter. Well, because before this, a lot of Star Wars games, except for like the Super Star Wars games, which were fun, but those were games that you rented every once in a while, and they were like too hard to actually really get to.
Yeah, they
were
like kind of like loose interpretations.
Right.
Well, Shadows of the Empire was interesting in that it was the first time Lucas tried to almost create a new Star Wars movie without making the movie. Like, right. They did the game and the book and the audio book, and, like, it was a very concentrated effort on this one story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but there was the PC version that actually had 3D pre-rendered cutscenes.
I can remember that.
And voice
but,
acting.
But, like, at this point, because there were a lot of Star Wars games that we kind of missed out on just because we weren't into PC gaming in, like, the mid-90s. So, like, the TIE Fighter games and stuff like that, that wasn't really, like us. And this was cool because it was, like, on Nintendo 64, and, hey, everyone can play it. Then, right shortly after that, we got a PC, and
then we got Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
Jedi Knight was so good.
Yeah, Jedi Knight.
It had the most complicated controls ever because every force power was its own button. Most of them in the F row.
Right. Yeah, I tell you, if you want to play like one now, I think Jedi Outcast holds up a
Jedi
bit.
Jedi Outcast is fantastic.
Which I just replayed not too long ago. That's a fun one.
Yeah, and again, good story. Right. The journey to getting your lightsaber is really fun. It's a good payoff.
I think it is very funny because it's such a pre-Halo FPS.
Oh, sure. Well,
just the way that we forget about now.
That was a Quake 3 engine.
Right. But it's just like funny when it's like you're in a game, it's like, oh, I'm low on health. I better find a health pack. Right?
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that now?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But yeah, but of the shooters, I think the best one was probably
Republic Commando.
Yes, Republic
Commando.
That game
was cool.
Came out of nowhere.
For how not Star Wars it was in some ways.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you were playing as clone troopers, but, you know, you weren't a Jedi. You didn't have a lightsaber. I don't think you saw a Jedi in that game.
Right.
And it took, like, what was very popular at the time, the whole squad-based shooter, and it just did a really good job of streamlining it, so it made total sense. I watched the first part of it. I don't know if you ever finished doing it. One of the designers was, like, streaming the game and talking about it.
I didn't hear it, yeah.
It's really interesting, because, like, you know how the guys all, like, had, like, some sort of predetermined role? Like, the one guy was Fixer, and then Scorch, and blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter what you put them to do. They made you think it did with the story context, but it, like, actually didn't.
That's kind of funny.
Which is kind of cool, because I mean, I always like, I need to blow this thing up. Let's get Scorch over here to do it. He's the demolitions expert.
That's probably the best, at least I can think of, the, like, prequel set games.
Mm-hmm.
Pod Racer 1 was super fun on the Dreamcast.
Oh, Pod Racer.
Was great.
Pod Racer, especially on the Dreamcast, because there was the N64 version, but it's always a Dreamcast game to me. That game was super fun. I don't know what it was about it. Honestly, a large part of it had to do with the, I mean, it had a high frame rate, which helped it feel fast. And again, all these games have the benefit of having Star Wars music playing, right, which always makes things better.
It's like somebody, when I was streaming yesterday, somebody was like, "Oh, is it just recycling the same music again?" I'm like, "Yeah."
You mean the Star Wars music,
right? I mean, some games have had some success, like with new music.
Yeah, KOTOR, Jeremy Soule did the soundtrack. That was fantastic.
Right, right.
But I'm trying to think what else.
But to your point about Republic Commando, like, I like when they don't really focus too much on Jedi. I feel like it kind of got a little Jedi crazy for a bit, kind of culminating in
Galaxies.
Well, not even so much that. That had an old issue. Yeah. But, like, even with the MMOs, it's like, you know, having people work. But not so much that, but just, like, that I'm not bothered by all these people being Jedi. It's just, like, it was, like, such, like, I feel like the Jedi became too, like, synchronous with, like, with Star Wars. Where, like, for me, a lot of the fun stuff is kind of, like, the blaster and kind of more, the more, like, lived-in stuff. Not so much necessarily the mythical aspect of it.
The problem was especially before the prequels, is everyone wanted to be a Jedi, but there weren't supposed to be any Jedi. KOTOR got around that by going super early.
Right.
And, you know, the prequel stuff kind of justifies it.
Right. And then, the thing, I always laugh at this, it seems like the big thing is always, and they always do this, is, like, to create Jedi that exist between episode 3 and 4. It's like, there's always, it's like, there's another one we forgot about.
He's hiding.
Yeah, but, like, Force Unleashed was, like, the big culmination of, like, the kind of focusing almost too much on Jedi.
I strangely enjoyed that game.
No, I think that's, well, it's funny, because everyone did, it was a fun game, but, man, I'll tell you what, it's not, like, holding much, memorable, like, it's not holding up into, like, the collective gamer consciousness.
I forget if I rented it or bought it. Like, I sat down one night, it was like 10 o'clock, and I was like, I'm going to start this. I did, 8 hours later, I finished the game.
It was a very breezy game to play, yeah.
I remember when they were first making it, they were really selling the tech of the game. It was one of the first games to use that physics thing that was used in GTA 4, where, like, if a character was being blown backwards, they'd actually try to grab onto something, right, which made sense with all the force throwing and stuff. And then it had that material system, so that wood acted like wood, metal acted like metal.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like for as big a deal they made as that, it ultimately didn't do too much in the game itself.
I mean, it was a fun game because it was basically the first one to have, like, an impressive physics engine to work with all the force powers and stuff.
Yeah, and they really did, like, they took all the force stuff and just turned it up to 11. Like, it was super over the top, which made it fun.
Right, exactly. It was kind
of
that.
Except that scene where you ripped the Star Destroyer out of the sky. Yeah, that should have been sweet, but that was really janky. It was just poor. It was just bad mechanically.
Even so, that's like a thing. Like, okay, come on. Nah, come on.
It was fun.
But so yeah. What else? What else do you want to talk about Star Wars games wise? Did we even play Force Unleashed 2? Did anybody?
I played the demo? I can't remember if it was a demo or just played the beginning of the game somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just it's like they had to contrive why, like, spoiler, you died at the end of Force Unleashed. So they had to, like, it's a clone of him for Force Unleashed 2.
They didn't just, like, make it a different character.
Yeah.
They would have been much better that way.
It's not like Starkiller was this hot IP they had all of a sudden or anything.
Bald guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of weird.
I lied. That's what that game gave us.
How about some
lied.
Yeah. How about some forgettable Star games, like Obi-Wan?
Oh, the one on Xbox?
Yeah. Remember how
that was, like, hyped up because you were gonna swing with the right stick to control the lightsaber, and that's what we thought we wanted.
Yeah.
Turns out we didn't want that.
Well, I remember, too, for a long time, like, that game was being touted, or people had assumed it was, like, this basically Jedi Knight, or Jedi Knight 2, or before we got Jedi Outcast, people thought that this was, like, the successor to Dark Forces kind of
progression. Yeah, it looked like it.
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah, again, I don't know why that assumption was made, but yeah, that's what everyone did. There was Star Wars Bounty Hunter. I never played that one. I know at least some people who, like, liked it.
It was,
like, but,
on GameCube.
That was PlayStation 2.
It was on GameCube, too.
Okay, but yeah, that one has some defenders, but...
What was I just going to say? Oh, there was that Phantom Menace PlayStation 1 game.
That was a weird game.
But I loved it for some reason. I can see it was probably bad... But for some reason, I really liked it.
It was like that very janky third-person action game, like, before, like, God of War, and then, like, Uncharted, like...
Yeah, but you still played it with tank controls.
Yeah, it was very janky. But the best part was, like, the one section was just, like, a LucasArts adventure game when you were on Tatooine, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
The whole game should have been more like that.
That was a weird game.
Yeah, we kind of glossed over Rogue Squadron. I liked Rogue Leader best on GameCube.
Oh, yeah. How weird, like, those games were, like, the games. And then, you know what killed it? In the third one, they tried to put, like, ground third-person shooting segments. It's like, nope, not fun anymore.
Well, I think because at that time, the one thing we could do pretty well was space shooting, arcade-style space shooting especially. So it was like, okay, well, yeah, this was, because yeah, remember Rogue Leader was a that was a GameCube launch game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, you got that mucky ball. And
just the only thing with those games is the escort and defend missions always suck.
Yeah, they're always annoying.
Because no matter what you did, something somehow came in behind you and blew up the thing you were escorting, and you had no chance.
Right.
You couldn't do anything about it.
Man. So, yeah. So, I feel it's...
Well, it's okay. Well, let me ask this, too. We briefly mentioned Galaxies, which I think we can all agree was wasted potential. What where do you land on SWTOR these days, with the new expansion coming out?
Like, bless their hearts for trying.
They must be making money on it if they're willing to go gung ho with like a big, huge expansion. SWTOR's just in this weird place now because this happened after the game came out, but now you know it's not canon,
right?
Which for something that's an active development, yeah, it is weird.
It is like the one ongoing Star Wars thing that is like in that legacy, whatever, right? Yeah. I feel they should come out and just say that SWTOR and maybe this is canon.
Because it doesn't affect anything.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I guess maybe someday they're like, we want to make our own movies that's super far in the past once they everything else
whatever.
Up. So, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know.
There's got to be at least... SWTOR we got to talk about is that Star Wars arcade game.
Oh, that was
How good is that game?
Yeah, not the new one.
You haven't played the new one, the Battle Pod, yet.
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. That is so fun. It's like a theme park ride that you pay $10
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I need to get it.
Or whatever
that.
It costs.
Remember the 32X had like the port of the old Star Wars arcade
game?
Yeah,
that was great.
That was fun.
That was great.
God, that was a big deal for some reason. Maybe it was in my mind.
Because it had digitized sound samples from the movie.
Very
Admiral Ackbar said it's a trap and stuff.
But yeah, so it's just kind of bracing around. Like, I don't really have, like... it's hard for me to say what my favorite Star Wars game is. I don't know if I have, like...
Do you remember the Yoda stories?
Yeah, everyone loved them.
Yeah, that was
fun. Like, all right. So,
So what's your favorite one now? You gotta get
I don't know. I guess, again, it's hard to argue against KOTOR, I guess.
Just say KOTOR. No one's gonna get mad
KOTOR,
at you.
Fine.
We never really played, a ton of KOTOR, too.
Well, I kind of want to get into that now.
Now it's all patched in. Yeah, I know.
So, AJ, what are you up to in the special zone?
So... I know we talk about Destiny a lot on the show, but what we should talk about is how lately they've been, like, adding all these cool secret, like, what do you want to call it? But, like, they take these missions where it's, like, it's only available for that day. It's, like, part of the daily heroic, or it's just, like, time lock. Like, there was one yesterday to, you had to turn in some items that we'd been finding for a while and didn't know what they did. And if you did four of them, you got a mission on Earth that got you an item that you had to unlock with a code that you derived from the boss fight. Then you had to do another mission and then defend some war sats. And then today, you got to take all that back to the gunsmith. You got another mission. And if you finish that mission, you got an exotic. And so I was like in the middle of doing it last night. I didn't finish last night. And now I'm worried that I can't finish it today because I didn't finish last night. But the fact that they've, like, hidden all this content in the game, and, like there's these huge, subreddits dedicated to finding a specific exotic or figuring out, like, how to unlock this one specific room, it's all just super cool the way they've actually put stuff to do in the game beyond just doing the raid. Even the other night, there's a mission in the game that's set in the original raid, the Vault of Glass. But then everyone discovered when it was the daily heroic story a few days ago that there were these ghost shells you could find. And if you found all three of them, it unlocked an alternate exit after the boss fight of the mission that took you through a door that people had been trying to figure out what's in that door for a year. And you go inside and you like fight like this new boss and a bunch of Taken opponents and... It unlocks the backstory of this character named Praedith, who is kind of like, he's like to the Vex what Eris Morn is to the Hive. And, I mean, you didn't really get like a gun or anything. It was really just for experience and you got rep with a faction. Like you got a ghost shell, but it's not like a ghost shell you can equip. You just turn it in at the end of the quest chain. But they're actually finding ways to finally put some of this interesting backstory that existed only in grimoire cards, and they're actually putting it, like, in the game, which I know is, like, a weird, scary, revolutionary thought, but, like, you know, like going through that, like, it was just really cool, like, to be doing something that was beyond just the old structure of let's scan a thing and fight waves of monsters.
I just like that they're actually adding content, like, besides these expansions, which is, you know, good.
Oh, and speaking of adding expansions, they announced the whole in-game currency, DLC.
Which is fine, yeah, this is for cosmetic stuff, but it sounds, yeah, then it sounds like, no, there's not going to be, like, the $10 or $20 expansions, or yeah, $20 expansions here. Just they'll release content through the year,
and then every year they'll do a big expansion drop.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's good.
The only thing I hate is it's got thing like you buy 500 silver for $6, and then spend the silver to get the stuff.
Yeah,
I always hate that because it's always designed so you're always left with leftover silver.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, so have you seen this Martian game that came out on iPhone?
No.
It's really cool, except it was bugged and I got stuck in it, but apparently they patched it, but I need to start over. But the way it works is, so let's assume that you work at NASA, and instead of giving you a laptop, they just gave you an iPhone and said, this is how you work at NASA. And you're the guy who gets Mark Watney's signal from Pathfinder, and so now you're communicating with Mark.
Oh.
And you're getting emails from other NASA scientists, like, telling you, like, oh, make sure you tell Mark to do this, and we need to keep an eye on this with him. And, I mean, it's kind of simple. Every so often, you're just given one of two things to say, and you pick one. A lot of the times, they're just pithy, like, it doesn't matter, but sometimes it'll be, like, a life-or-death choice that you have to make for him to help him out.
Huh.
And, like, you know, like, he'll message you when he needs something, and it actually is an Apple Watch companion app, so you can actually pull up his vitals.
Oh my god!
To like keep a track on him, and if you get messages, you can answer them on your watch.
That's cool.
I mean, it's just fun because it's like it feels like you're talking with Mark Watney.
That could be a cool sound for like a concept for like an actual kind of.
No, well, there are two games that follow. If I'm not mistaken, the studio who made this have made two similar games of their own, and the studio contracted them to make this.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, it's super rad. You should check it. I think you'd like it. It's $3, but
yeah, it seems neat.
Yeah, it seems up your wheelhouse.
Alright, I mean, me, I haven't done too much. I beat Persona 4 Dancing All Night, which took a while. The final song was cool, though, because, like, basically, like...
Does it do that EBA thing?
It does,
like, everyone shows up?
Yeah, because, like, yes! the whole game, it's like... It's just, like, the one person dances in one background. This one, it was, like, everybody was going nuts. Yeah,
speaking of, so I tried to explain EBA to my wife the other day because I was singing Jumpin' Jack Flash. She did not understand what I was talking about at all.
The male cheerleaders come, and they help people by motivating
them. Yeah, then I told her about the girl whose dad died at Christmas. She was like, what is this game?
Yeah.
Well, it messes with you emotionally a little bit, but it's okay. You help her out in the end. Yeah. And she has a Merry Christmas with her teddy bear.
Ah, God. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, but, yeah.
And oh,
plus, so... like, I kept waiting for this one song to be playable, and it didn't until it was the final song. I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah, hooray. Is it, I held on, I've whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
as your great rendition.
Speaking of songs, Rock Band 4.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite game. You played it. You came over and played a few licks.
Oh, it's certainly Rock
Band. It's very Rock
Band. I mean, I still have my issue that I had with these games is, like with Persona 4 Dancing All Night, I feel like I'm playing the song as a game, and, like, the Rock Band thing is much more like you're playing what the instrument would play.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing the guitar, you know, on, like, a metal song, it's literally just like, like, chord,
chord,
and, you know, that's just not as much fun to me. Like, I get it. But yeah,
it's just about a matter of then you just, you know, playing,
right,
the songs.
Like, but even, like, I feel like even Guitar Hero 1, like, wasn't quite that much like that at one point. Like, to me, that was still, like, more fun to play when it was, like, just more about let's have fun with the guitar. And I feel like now, since there's so many instruments and stuff, and it is about being a rock, it's just, like, accuracy in some way.
Well, the big thing they added from the guitar point of view, because I don't have drums I can play with it yet, is freestyle solos. And, you know, basically, if you just want to just mash buttons, you can mash buttons and it'll sound decent. But they give you, like, prompts to follow, like, should you be playing eighth notes or quarter notes, or should you hold a long note, or should you be tapping out triplets on the lower frets? And if you follow along and kind of get a sense of how it works, you can. It sounds like you're making something. It's really cool.
Yeah, kind
of. Even, like, you know, like, the end of some songs, they have that little weird jam out thing.
Right.
Like, it works on those, too.
Yeah.
And it's neat. Like, any song that had a solo, it just retroactively adds that feature in, and it totally works. So that's cool. I also did a little bit of singing yesterday. I just used the headset mic on my headphones. Yeah. And that works. Like, you know, you do that, like, harmony thing where you can, like,
yeah,
you can, like, go off the melody, but as long as you're still in key, you get points.
Yeah.
Like, so that's really cool. I mean, it's Rock Band, so do you like Rock Band? Yes. Well, you'll like this game.
It's not gonna throw
yeah, it's cool to be able to get all my old DLC back. Like, I'm glad that worked. So, yeah, it's super fun.
Well, you ready to wrap this episode up?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Go to the iTunes Music Store to give us a review. We are not going to be here next week. We'll be traveling, but we're back in like a week or so. We might not even be back the next week because I have another
show. Oh, you're like gone 2 weeks now,
aren't you? I'm not sure exactly. We'll figure it out.
Something. Yeah. 1 week's fine. I don't hit this 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Come on, something.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you not next week, but at some point in the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.